Begin the current daf. After site the daf lamed vav. We begin on the top line of the yamed, where the Gemara continues discussing the brisa that we've been discussing in the previous dafim regarding the Jewish people's journey crossing from Eva Hayarden over the Jordan River into the western part, the primary part of Eretz Yisrael. So the brisa says, "Boy re'ei kamen isim nasu boy sezim. Come and see how many miracles happened that day that they crossed over the Jordan." First of all, Abri Yisrael Seyarden, they crossed over the Jordan River. The riverbed was dried up, and they crossed through. Uvo lahar Grizim lahar Evel yesem mishisha mil. They reached all the way to Mount Grizim and Mount Evel, which was more than 60 mil away. Moreover, ve'in kol ber yichay lamed befneim, there was no creature, there was nothing that was able to get in their way. And v'chol oimer befneihem miyad nitras, whatever got in their way, right away lost control of their bowels. Hashem, like it says the pasuk in Shemais, "Es emasi ashalach lefanecha." Hashem says that I will send my ema, my fear, in front of you. The hamisi is kol ha'amashat tovah behem begamer, and that I will cause muhuma, which is some type of a tumult and confoundment of anyone that comes in your way. And moreover, it's even in an internal way, in a physical way, what's inside of them, which is as we explained, because that they lost control of their bowels. Vayimat, like it says in the pasuk in Shemais, Tipol aleim in Masa Avacha, as the Jewish people saying by the Az Yashir, that you cause to fall upon them your fear and your awe, which incidentally the Gemara says that another pasuk that it says over there, it says that Ad Yaver Amcha Hashem, until your nation crosses Hashem, Zubi Rishayna. This was the first entrance into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua, which we're discussing now when they crossed the Yarden. Ad Yaver Amzukanisa, when it repeats and says, until this nation crosses over that which you have acquired, this what's the second redundancy of crossing over? Zubishni, this is actually the second entrance into Eretz Yisrael, which was in the days of Ezra. After the first Churban Beis HaMikdash, when they were exiled into Babel, 70 years later, then they went back up to the second Beis HaMikdash. That was the second entrance when they crossed over to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So not the Gemara comments, Emma Ma'ata, what you would learn from this comparison, the Pasuk is, that it was worthy to have been that the Jewish people should have had the same great miracles like we're mentioning over here, how they crossed over the Yarden, they got 60 mil in one day, and whoever stood in their way had the lost control of their bowels. The same thing should have happened in the days of Ezra, that they should have been able to come with might, and they should not have been under the servitude of another sovereign nation. Ella Shagar Machad. It's just that the sin of the Jewish people in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash caused that although they're going to be able to come back to Eretz Yisrael for the second Beis HaMikdash, it's only going to be with permission from the other conquering nations, as it says in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, Mivachem Chalamah, that they were given the opportunity to come back, but again, it wasn't under their own dominion as it was in the days of Yeshua. So then the Brisa continues and says, Va'achakach, this is going back on what happened on that same day, how many miracles would they were able to get into one day. Va'achakach hiviu es avonim uvonu es mesbeach. Then, after they came to Har Grizim and Har Evel, and no one got in their way, so they brought the stones and they built the mesbeach. And v'sadu besid, and they plastered it. V'chasav aleim es kol divrei ha-Torah b'shivim loshon. They wrote the entire Torah in 70 different languages. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk in Devarim, that that's what they should do ba'ir heitev. Explained it very well, meaning in any language. And the Hello Eilus v'Shlamim, and they sacrificed Eila, which are totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and Shlamim, which are those which are eaten by people too. V'Achlu v'Shasu v'Samchu, they ate, they drank, and they rejoiced. And Ubarchu v'Kallu, they also did the Brachas and the Klolus, which are Har Grizim and Har Evel. And V'Kiplu es Avonim, then they took apart the stones from this altar that they had put together, and which were from the stones that they took from the Yarden. Uvo v'Lonim v'Gilgal, and they came, and then they slept in Gilgal, Shonem, like it says in Yeshua, you should take them with you. You should put it in the place where you're going to be sleeping. Now, you would think they would have to transport these stones wherever they stay. As the pasuk teaches over there, which you're going to be sleeping tonight, which was in Gilgal. It says later on, the pasuk says that the 12 stones that they took, where the pasuk says they took these min hayarden. Hekim Yeshua Gilgal, so that's where Yeshua had placed them in Gilgal. Again, all these different things happened on the same day when they crossed the Jordan. Now, related to one of the psukim that we just mentioned, the Gemara Satan lit in the Braisa that Tzira lo'avrimam. Tzira was some type of a flying sheretz some type of a vermin that flies, that didn't cross over with the Jewish people into Eretz Canaan. And that the Gemara says, is that they, it didn't? But Voksiv, it says there in the Pasuk of Shemais that we just quoted before, which is in Perek Chav Gimel, says, "Bishalachti es tzira lefanecha," that I will send the tzira in front of you, meaning to fight with you in, for the nations that you're conquering there, it's Canaan. So how could the Gemara say that it didn't cross over? So Amr Rishim Malakish, he says, it could resolve it by al svas yarden amda. What happened is the tzira didn't cross over the Jordan in Eretz Yisrael, but it stayed at the edge of the Jordan River on the eastern side. And then it threw its poison over the Jordan into the people in Eretz Canaan. And it blinded their eyes from on top. And it caused them to become sterile on the lower region of their body. Like it says in the Pasuk in Amos, it says, Hashem says that I destroyed the Amoris in front of the Jewish people. That they were as high and as mighty as cedars. And they were able to protect themselves as oaks. And I destroyed their fruits from above, which is a reference to their eyes. And their roots from on the bottom, which is a reference to becoming sterile, etc. So therefore, the Rish Lakish resolves the contradiction by saying, yes, they were sent over by their poison, but they themselves actually didn't go over. Another interpretation of Papa, he says, Shtei Tzirasav, it's not a contradiction, there were actually two different Tzirais, meaning Chadda de Maisha and Chadda de Yeshua. There was one that fought for the wars of Maisha and one for that of Yeshua. De Maisha, the one of Maisha, where he only fought in Eretz Mai, but never crossed over, that one didn't pass over, but the one of Yeshua did cross over with him to fight the Canaanim in Eretz Canaan. The Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah that said, that Shisha Shvatim Aluish Hagrizim, meaning there were six, the half of the tribes went to the mount of Grizim, to the top of Mahagrizim, the other half went to Har Evel, as etc. As the Gemara, as the Mishnah had brought the pasuk. So the Gemara asks on the pasuk which was brought in the Mishnah, that my, what does this pasuk in Yeshua mean when it says v'hachetzi? Now this pasuk is in Perikhez pasuk Lamagimel that says v'chal Yisrael and all the Jewish people who is Kenov, v'shaitrim, v'shaiftav, imdim mizeu mizel aron. They were standing on either side of the aron, which was Neged HaKahanim HaLeviim, who were Noiseru in Bris HaShem, Kager Ka'azrach. You have Chetzi El Mul HaGrizim, you have half that was on the opposing mountain of HaGrizim, V'HaChetzi, which is the word that the Gemara is quoting over here, and the other half was El Mul Har Evel, was facing towards the other mountain of Har Evel. Kashatzi V'Moshe Eved HaShem, like Moshe had commanded, L'Vorach HaSa'am Yisrael B'Shoina, to bless the Jewish people all the way in the beginning. Now, the question the Gemara is asking is, why does it say v'hachetze when it's in reference to those of the Jews that were on Har Evel, which sounds like ha, the half, sounds like either the distinct half or that which is mentioned somewhere else. What is that in reference to? So Amrav Kahana, he says, what it means when it says v'hachetze is keder shechalukin kan. Just like the tribes, the Shvatim, were split up over here on Har Grizim and Har Evel, as the Pasuk says in Devarim Chavzayin, that these should be standing on one to bless, and the other half should be there for the curse. That's how, exactly how they were split by the stones of the ephod, where there was part of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, there was an ephod, some type of an apron that he wore, which had two stones on either one of his shoulders, which the pasuk says that Shisha Mishmaisim, six of the names were on one stone, and the other six were on the other stone. So the six Shvatim that were Hagrizim were written on one stone, and the sixth of Har Evel was written on the other stone. That's what the pasuk says when it says v'hachetzay. I mean that half which is carved out on one of the stones. That's exactly what was here on this mountain. That's what it says v'hachetzay. On this interpretation of Kahana, the Gemara asks Meisir. Learn the Brisa that seemingly all interpretations of the Tanoim are not like this Amira. The Brisa says shtei avanim tayvos hayuloi l'kohen gadol akasevav. There were two precious stones that were for the Kohen Gadol on his shoulder, by the straps there of the ephod. Achas mikan, v'achas mikan, one on either shoulder. V'shemesh neim asr shvatim kasablan, and the names of the 12 tribes were written on these two stones. Shisha levenzu, v'shisha levenzu, six on one stone and six on the other stone. Shnemai, it says the pasuk in Shemais, says, shisha mishmaisim al ebna, achas, we're going to that six of the names were on one stone, etc. Where the pasuk there says, and the remaining six were written on the other stone, kitol doisam, which as the Gemara explains, Shnia Kital Daisim. The second stone had the names as their birth order, where the last six were mentioned God, Asher, Yisachar, Zevulun, Yezim, and Yamin, and that's exactly in their birth order. But from the inference of the pasuk is that the first six were not written exactly how they were born. And the reason being is Mnesha Yehuda Muktim, because Yehuda was placed first. So it's Yehuda, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Dan, and Naphtali. So that is the birth order besides for Yehuda. Now they were together with all the 12 Shvatim, they were 50 letters. 25 on one stone and 25 on the other stone, which Gemara later on is going to ask, that actually the last six of the Shvatim only had 24 letters, not 25 letters. But that's his opinion, how it was split up on the two stones of the Ephod, that it was according to the birth order. Chanin ben Gamliel, I mean, he gives a different interpretation as we continue on to Amud Beis. He says, says, not how the Shvatim were split up in Sefer Bamidbar, where the Sefer Bamidbar opens up that it says, Elu Shemais HaNoshim HaShayam, that these are the names of the men that were standing. That's not how it was Chalukin Babni Ephod. That's not how it was split up in the stones of the Ephod. Ella, rather, Kederech Shechalukin B'chumash Sheini, rather how the Shvatim are split up in the second of the five Chumashim, which is in the beginning of Sefer Shemais, where it says, Ve'elu Shemais, where there is an order of Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zevulun on one stone. And the second stone has Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and Yosef. As the Gemara explains, Kate, so what was the order? B'nei Leah, Kesidron. The sons of Leah were in their order on one stone. And B'nei Rachel, the sons of Rachel, Echad Mikan, one of the sons was actually in the beginning, which was Binyamin. Ve'echad Mikan, and the other son, meaning Yosef, was on the bottom of that order of the six names. And the names from the maidservants, from Bilhah and Zilpah, they were in the middle, which you have Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, in between Binyamin and Yosef. Now, so this opinion says, Ve'ilaman, and Mikam Kesal Doisim, but then how do I resolve that it said that the second stone had the names of the tribes as their birth order, and it's not being done in the birth order? It's having Binyamin, then it's having Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and then Yosef. So that he explains, Kesal Doisim means to say, not as their birth order, but rather Kishmaisin Shekarlan Avian. Rather means as they were born, meaning as same as the names that were given to them when they were born, that's the type of names that were written on the stones. What that means to say is Vulay Kishema Shekarlan Moshe, but not like the names that Moshe Ben had called them. Because the stones had them Ruvain, Vulay Ruvaini. When Moshe Ben would refer to the Shvatim, he would call them Ruvaini. So that's what we're saying, Kitol Daisa means to say they were written as they were born with that name. Shimon v'loi Shemaini, Don v'loi Hadoni, God v'loi Hagodi. And that's the understanding of what it means, Kital Daisim. But either way, says the Gemara, to Yuvta Rav Kahana, both of these Tanoic interpretations refute the interpretation of Kahana, because according to everybody, whatever it is that they're saying the order of the stones of the Ephod was not the order of that the Shvatim were on Har Grizim and Har Evil. Because whereas by Har Grizim, you had Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin, and Har Evil had Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, which is not according to either one of these interpretations, which had Yosef and Binyamin on the other stone, not together with Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar. So the Gemara says, Tufta, definitely it's a refutation of Rav Kahana's interpretation when it said, V'hachatzi of Har Grizim and Har Evil, it's not the same half as was split up on the stones of the Ephod. So there the Gemara resumes and says, V'elamai V'hachatzi. So what, when it says the half of the Shvatim and Har Evil, why does it say Hachetz, the half, if it's not a reference as like Rav Kahana had said? So tell me, what in the Braisim, that Chetzu Shel Mul HaGrizim, the half that was on the mountain facing of HaGrizim, was Meruba Mechetzu Shel Har Evil, was more than the half that was on Har Evil. And that is why it says V'Hachetzu El Mul Har Evil, because the word Hachetzu sounds like the less of the half. I mean, it's not even a full half. And the reason being is because they had less than those on Har Grizim. And the reason for this is Memnesha Levi Lamata, because the elders of the Kohuna and Leviya, they're with the Aron between the two mountains, and because they were on the bottom, so therefore Har Evil had less than Har Grizim. Which you might ask, Adrab, to the contrary. Memnesha Levi Lamata, since you're telling me that the tribe of Levi was on the bottom, actually Batsru Lahu. That should make that the half on Har Grizim should have left. And the reason being is because, as it's mentioned when it was split up, that it actually had, because it's not with Menashe and Ephraim, the 12. You could either have the 12 tribes of Menashe and Ephraim and not counting Yosef and Levi, or you could count Yosef and Levi, and actually the way it says it is that it had Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin on Har Grizim. So if you tell me that the Levim were on the bottom, that should make those on Har Gerizim less, not the ones on Har Evil less. So why does it use Ha Chetzi, which sounds like the lesser of the half, on Har Evil, when if you tell me Levim is in the bottom, it should make Har Gerizim less? So I think my answer is no Hachikama. What we're saying is, Afal Pi Shalevi Lamata, even though the Levim were on the bottom, even so, the half of Har Gerizim were still more. And that's why when it references Har Evil, it says Ha Chetzi, that they had less. And the reason being is because B'nei Yesev Imam, because the sons of the tribe of Yesev was with those on Har Gerizim, and they were so many that even though they had from Levi down the bottom, they were still more than those on Har Evil. Shneimah, like it says the Pasuk in Yeshua. Pasuk says, V'yidaber B'nei Yesev es Yeshua Lemer, that the sons of Yesev said to Yeshua, saying, Madu nasati li nachlo goril echad v'chavol echad, why is it that you gave to me inheritance, a portion and a part in Eretz Yisrael that was just one? Vani am rav, and yet I'm such a multitude of people, like the pasuk there says, Asher ad koy barchein Hashem, that Hashem has blessed me so much. So if I'm so many, why am I getting just this one portion there to Israel? Vayim aleim Yeshua, and Yeshua said to them, Im am ravat, have you really so many? Alei leicha yara, go up and go to the forest. So what does that mean? So Amalehen, what he said to them was, Lachu v'hichbu atzma bi'arim, go ahead and conceal yourself and hide yourself in the forest, so that the evil eye should not take hold of you, because everyone's going to say, wow, look how many they have, and they're going to start causing this ayin hara. And because of that, he says, so if you really are so many, don't let other people create this ayin hara, and you go ahead and hide yourself in the forest. Now, I'm related to that. The sons of Yosef said to Yeshua, Zara de Yosef lo shalta be'ein abisha. The children of Yosef, the ayin hara has no control over them. Just like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, Ben Pyrus Yosef, that Yosef was a charming son. Ben Pyrus Aliyin is a charming son to the eye. Now, Vamar Bavo, he interprets, Altihi Kaire Aliyin. Don't read it to the eye. Elo Oile Ayin, because it doesn't say El, it says Ale. Rather, it means to say above the eye, meaning they rise above the eye, and the eye does not have any control over them. Or a different source, Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanino Amma Mihachi, brings from a pasuk in Bereishis, which this was the bracha that Yaakov gave to Menashe and Ephraim, who are the sons of Yosef, that v'yidgu lo roiv bekerav haaretz, that they should multiply to many, like the fish in the sea, that's how they should multiply on the land, which tells you, ma'adogim shebiyam, ma'ayim achasam lehim, just like the fish in the sea, the water covers over them, ve'ena ayin shaletes b'em, and the eye doesn't rule over them because you can't see them, they're on the bottom. So to the sons of Yosef, the eye doesn't rule over them. And they said, that's not a problem, that we're so many, we don't have to hide ourselves in the forest. Now, returning to what we mentioned before, regarding these two different opinions which are brought in to refute the interpretation of Rav Kahana, so we said that there were 50 letters between the two different stones. 25 on one, 25 on the other. Now the Gemara asks, Hani Chamishim Oisius, these 50 letters, actually Chamishim Dechei Chadahavim, actually, there was 50 minus 1. The reason being is because the second stone only had 24, not 25 letters. So how do you have 50? So Amr Yitzchak, he says, Yosef Hesivolo Eis Achas. They actually add on another letter to the name of Yosef, which made it into 25. Shemek says, a passing into Tehillim, it says, Eidus B'Hosef Samar. That the testimony they placed in Yosef, so the word Yosef has an extra hay added in, which was B'Tzisei Eretz Mitzrayim, which was when he went out on the land of Egypt. Now that the Gemara asks, but Maskeler of Nachma Yitzchak Kisal Doisem Beinan. But as we mentioned before, we need that the names on the second stone, which was where Yosef was, that they have to be as they were born. As we said, the names that their father gave them, and he called them Yosef when he was born, not Yosef. So how could we say that they were written with an extra letter when it has to be written Kisal Doisem? So El Rav, the Gemara says that Kolater Kula Binyamiksev. The whole entire Torah, when the word of Binyamin is written, it's written without a Yud between the Mem and the Nun. But V'hacha Binyamin Shalom, here the reason how we have 25 letters is because Binyamin was written with that Yud in its complete form. K'dechsev, like it says, Apostle Gimbarashis, V'ovev Karla Binyamin. You're right, it's exactly Kildal Daisim, because his father had called him when he was born Binyamin with that extra Yud, and that's how we have 25 letters also on the second stone. Now, returning to what we mentioned before regarding this of Yosef being called Yosef. So Amrav Chana Bar Bizna, Amrav Shem Chassidah, he says, Yosef Shekida Shem Shemayim Baseser. Yosef, who he sanctified the name of heaven in private, in seclusion, when he was secluded with an ervo, with a woman that tried enticing him, and he held his ground and he conquered his inclination, thus sanctifying the name of heaven. So they added on one of the letters of the names of Hashem's four-letter name. Whereas Yehuda, Yehuda, who he sanctified the name of heaven in public, that is, as we'll see on the next daf, by the Yamsuf, so Nikra Kulei Al Shemesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the entire name was called with all four letters of Hashem, which was, as we see, the letter, the name of Yehuda, actually has the Yud, the He, the Vav, and the He of Hashem's name, just with a Dalet there at the end. So he had all of the four letters of Hashem's name. Now, the Gemara explains Yosef Mahi. Where do we find this incident that Yosef was Mekadosh Yerushalayim B'Seser? Therefore, he got one letter. The Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk Bereishis, says, Vayihi Kayim, as that it was, like on this day, Vayaveh HaBayis Elasa Malach, that he came to the house of his master, Paitifer, to do his work. So Amr B'Yechanan, Melamet Sheshneim Ludva Averin Eskam. He says, what this teaches us is that actually both the Eishes Paitifer and Yosef both intended to sin on that day. And when it says that he came to do his work, it means that he came to have tashmish, to have cohabitation. Now, actually, it's a machlekes the Gemara brings. When it says Vayaveh HaBayis Elasa Malach, that he came to the house to do his work, Rav Shmuel, there's two different interpretations. Chadar Malasas Malachta Mamash. One says, no, he actually came to do his work and literally work. And he didn't have any intentions of sinning. And he was just being seduced by Ishes Pativa. Now, Chadar Malasas Rochav Nechnas. The other one says, no, he came to take care of his needs, which means that he was coming to have cohabitation with the wife of his master. Now, the Pesukim there says, Ve'ein Ishmaachei Abayis Bukhame, that there was no other person in the household that day besides Yosef and the wife of Paitifa. Now, that the Gemara asks, Efshe bayis godlo kabeis shel Eser Rasha, is it possible that such a great and populated house like that wicked person, Paitifa, l'hoye bayish, there was a day that there wasn't any other person there in the house besides him, besides Yosef and Eishes Paitifa? So that Tanna Rabbi Shmuel was taught in the Brayis of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, that Eiseh hayoyim yoyim chagim hoye, that day was their holiday. V'holchu kulon lebeis avodis kacham shem, they all went to their temples with their idols on that day. Now, she told to all the other people in the house, oh, I'm not feeling well today. Because Amr, she said, I'm not going to have another opportunity to cohabit with Yosef, like on such a day where no one's going to be around. Now, the Pesukim there says, that she grabbed a hold of his garment, saying, lay with me. Now, the Gemara says, at that moment, the form, the figure of his father appeared to him, in the window, and Amalayan said to him, Yosef, there will be a time in the future that your brothers are going to be written on the stones of the Ephod, which is worn by the Kohen Gadol, and you're among them. Do you want that your name should be erased from amongst them? And you should be called a shepherd of harlots? So it's like it says, Apostle Mishlei, V'roi Yezoinus, that the shepherd of harlots, Ye'abed Hoin, loses wealth, loses a fortune, which in this context is a reference to a good name, which is more precious than all the fortune in the world, which his good name is going to be erased if he's going to go ahead and give in to this impulse that he has right now to be Mezana. So Miyad, immediately, as is mentioned later on in the bracha that Yaakov gave to his sons as he was passing away, talking about the greatness of his son Yosef, that he stood the test, that he withstood the test, as it says, "Vateshiv be'esin kashtay," that his bow returned to its strength, which kashtay is a reference to his semen, because as the Gemara explains elsewhere, that it shoots like an arrow. So his bow, which is from his male member, went back to its place. He didn't give in to that great desire. Now, Amr Bichin Shemir Mehu explains Sheshava kashtay. It means to say that his bow, his male member, went back to its place, and again, they didn't give in to those desires. Now, and therefore, and as the pasuk continues there in the bracha that Yaakov gave, which was given to Yosef, again, a reference to this incident, so it says, Vayifoizu Zroi Yada, which literally translated is that Vayifoizu is from the word of paz, which is of beautiful jewels and diamonds, that the arms of his hands were covered in paz. But the interpretation could also be that Vayifoizu could be read as where you have that the Zion and the Tzadi could be switched because they're both from the same part of as all the Isis of the are split into five different categories. There are gutturals and there are those with the tongue. So instead of being read Vayifoizu, so it could be read as Vayifoitzu, which is of being dispersed. And just like as Rashi says, we find that Zaka and Saka both mean the same thing, although one's a Zayin, one's a Tzade, again, coming from the same place, that Zayin and Tzade are interchangeable. So the interpretation is that Vayufaitsu and Zroya could be from the term of Zera, which is not Zyoda Bakarka. What happened was that Yosef dug his hands into the ground and he supported himself on that so that he should feel the pain and be distracted from this pain so that his intense desire could pass. And Vayotza Shechva Zaroy, and his semen went out, Mibein Tzipor and the other, from between the fingernails of his hand. So that's Vayufaitsu. It came out, Zroye, his Zera, from Yodov through his hands. And they didn't allow it to come through from the male member by being Mizana with Eshet Patifa. Now, the Pasuk there continues, Midei, that this came from the hand of Avir Yaakov, of the mighty of Yaakov, which as the Gemara explains, what it means to say is, Mi Garmloi Sheyech Kukalavne Eifed, who caused Yosef to be engraved on the stones of the Eifed, which as we'll see shortly, that's where the Pasuk ends, Evan Yisrael, was Ella Avir Yaakov, was only because of the might of Yaakov, again, because it was his father Yaakov that appeared himself, that helped save him from committing that sin. Whereas the Pasuk there says, Misham, from there, Raya, appeared a shepherd, which was this incident made Yosef into one of the shepherds of the Jewish people. Evan Yisrael, the stone of the Jewish people, which as Gemara explained, Misham Zachav and Nasa Raya, from that incident that he merited into become a shepherd of the Jewish people. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, where the Pasuk is in reference talking to the Shechinah, to the Divine Presence, which is saying, Raya Yisrael Hazina, the shepherd of the Jewish people listened, meaning talking to the Shechinah, Noihi Katzon Yosef, that you should treat the Jewish people like the sheep of Yosef, who, the way he shepherded that, and he was the shepherd of all the Jewish people. So therefore, again, we see that the Jewish people are called the sheep of Yosef because he was the shepherd of the Jewish people, and he merited this by withstanding that test of Eishes Petifa. Now, Tanya learned in the Braisa, Hayiro Yosef Lotzim Men Yod Beishvatim, that Yosef should have, he was supposed to merit to have 12 tribes. Kederch Sheyotzim Yaakov Avav, just like his father Yaakov merited to have 12 tribes. Shnem, like it says in Pasim Bereshis, which the way it's being interpreted over here is, Elo told us Yaakov Yosef, that these are the children of Yaakov, are Yosef. In other words, that just how there was the children of that came out of Yaakov, so too is fitting for it to come out from Yosef. But like we just mentioned, but because of that incident, his semen came through and came through the fingernails of his hand, so it was used up in that way, and it wasn't used to be able to father another 10 children. However, in spite of that those 10 that he lost, that came through the 10 fingers that he had, came through his brother Binyamin. As we find, that all the 10 sons that Binyamin had were called based on his brother Yosef. Like it says in the Pasuk, that the sons of Binyamin were Bela, Vavecha, Vashba, Vagim, etc. Whereas the Gemara explains, all of them are in reference to his brother Yosef. Bela, he called him Shenivla Beina Umes, because he was absorbed, he was lost amongst the nations, because he lost his brother, he was sold down to Egypt. Ubecher, because Bechor Leimoyhaya, he was the firstborn by his mother. The Eshbel, Isheshvoy Kel, is that God took him into captivity. Geira, Ishagar Bachsanois, because he dwelled in different locations, meaning in foreign lands. The Naaman, Shenoim Beyesa, he was very sweet. Echi Varesh, two different names. Echi Hu Vareshihu, he was my brother, and he was my head. Mupim Mechupim, another two different names, which although the Gemara here doesn't explain what Mupim is, Rashi brings from the Medrash of Tanchuma, that Mupim is from the word of pi, meaning that his mouth was like the mouth of Yaakov Avinu, with the halachas that he received from his father, from that he learned at Yeshiva of Shem and Aver. And Chupim is, Hulei Ra b'chupasi v'ani lei re'isi b'chupasa. He didn't see my chupa when I got married, and I didn't see his chupa when he got married. And finally, the 10th son, Va'ard, is she'yared le'bein umas olam, because he went down amongst the nations of the world. Or Ikadam, another interpretation is, Va'ard, is she'pon of doyman le'verd, because his face was similar to a rose. So therefore, again, those 10 tribes which he didn't merit, he had somehow, vicariously, through his brother Binyamin, who named him after Yosef. Now, Amar B'chibar Abba, Amar B'yechanan. B'shosh, again, this is related to this pasuk that we mentioned before of Eidus B'Yosef. So, B'shosh Amalei Parah L'Yosef, at the time when Parah said to Yosef, and this was after that he translated his dream and he told him what they should do about it, Uvaladecha lo yorm ishes yod begum. It says, and besides you, there is no one that could go ahead and lift up his hand. You're the second in command. You're ruling the whole Egypt. That besides me, I'm on top of you. Now, Amru it's Tagnini Paris, so it's Tagnini, which they are the wise men and those who are the stargazers, and they know in the wisdom of the constellations. So they said to Paray, Evet Shalokhi Rabbi Esam Kesab, a slave which was bought by his master for a measly 20 silver coins. Tamshi Leyo Len, you can have him rule all over us? So Amalahan, so Paray said to them, Ginuni Malchusani Royabai, says, I see the colors of royalty, which is his wisdom and his might and his beauty, in the characteristics in him. So Amr Loi, so they said to him, Im Kain, if that's the case, Yehe Yudeya Bishim Loshen, and he should know the 70 languages. So the Gemara tells us that Bo Gavriel Velim de Shim Loshen. So Gavriel, the Malach, the angel Gavriel, came and taught him the 70 languages that he should be able to contest and hold his ground. Now, Lo Havaka Gama, but he wasn't able to learn it. Hesivoloi Eis Achas Mishmash Lakadish Boch Velomet. But then one letter of Hashem's name, the Hey, was added on to Yosef's name, and that then he was able to learn the 70 languages. Like it says in the pasuk, "Edus be Yosef samay." The testimony was placed on Yosef. But Seisel Eretz Mitzrayim, when he went out on the land of Egypt, whereas the pasuk there says, "Svas lo yedat yeshma," a language I didn't know, I heard, because that's how he was able to integrate and understand all the 70 languages. Now the narrative continues, "Ulamacher," and the next day, Kalishna Dishtoi Pari Bades, any language that Pari spoke with him, Ahadule, Yosef was able to respond to, he knew all the 70 languages. But Ishtoi Ihu Balashna Kodesh, but when Yosef spoke in Lashna Kodesh, Lahava Koyodim, I have a Amar. Pari didn't know what he was talking about, because Lashna Kodesh actually encompasses all the other 70 languages. It's the language that the world was created in, that which the Torah is written in. And Pari didn't know that. He knew only the pieces, not the whole picture. So Amale Agmari, so he said to Yosef, teach me that language. So he taught it to him, but he wasn't able to learn. So Amalei, so Pari said to him, Ishtabeili deloy megalis. It's weird to me that you're not going to reveal to anyone that you know another language that I don't know. So he swore to him. Now, ki Amalei, when Yosef years later said to Pari, Avihish bi'ani lema, that my father swore to me saying that I have to go ahead and bury him outside of Eretz Mitzrayim to take his bones up to Eretz Canaan. So Amalei, so Pari said to Yosef, Zil ichlashvasech, what's the big deal that your father made you swear? Go to a sage, and he'll be matter your nether. He'll be matter the shvua. So Amalei, so Yosef responded to Pari, Ve'ichli nami adidach? Should I go ahead also be shoyel and undo the oath that I took for you not to tell anyone that you don't know a language that I know? So therefore the Gemara says, Va'avagav deloy nichle, so even though he wasn't really pleasing, he didn't want to let any Jew leave Mitzrayim, Amalei, he told him, Alei u'kvor yasavicha kashash b'yecha. Go ahead and bury your father like he made you swear again, because he was afraid of Yosef revealing that he knows, that Yosef knows Lashon Kodesh, and that Pari doesn't know. And then the Gemara will continue on to the next stuff. Exactly, so that was Yosef, since he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seser, had one letter added on, but as we'll see, Yehuda, who is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Fahesir, he had all the four letters of Hashem's name in his name of Yehuda.